This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. 7:36 in the morning, Wednesday the 13th of January, which means that in about half an hour, we're going to be having the breakfast grill. And this morning, it's going to be an interesting one. Property developer Marsing Group is diversifying into the rubber gloves business and expects their first six production lines to be operational in the second quarter of 2021. Is Marsing too late to the game, or will they be able to compete against current incumbents like Top Glove and Super Max? Beyond that, as the property market recovers, what are Marsing's plans for future developments and launches, as well as land banking? So we're going to be speaking with Dato' Ho Hon Sung, CEO of the Marsing Group, to find out more. That's happening after the 8 o'clock news.
But right now we're talking about commodity prices, because they've staged a strong rally since the third quarter of 2020. And in particular, food components have seen strong price increases rather than the energy commodities like oil or coal. The UNFAO food price index climbed 6.5% in December to 107.5 points, the highest level in 6 years.
Yeah, so palm oil led the rally as prices jumped something like 26% in December, followed by cereals, which were up 19%. I guess, is this a concern over inflation and how is this going to affect food prices for us?
Absolutely. So to find out more about this morning we're speaking with Lee Joo-yi, economist at Maybank Kim Eng. Joo-yi, thank you so much for speaking with us today. Can you tell us what are the factors that have driven this rally in commodity as well as food prices?
So the increase in food prices that we saw last year was a result of a combination of factors, actually, both on the supply as well as the demand side. That includes supply chain disruption, given the lockdowns across many regions and countries. Extreme weather conditions contributed as well. And there was also stockpiling of food items because of the lockdowns. As more people stayed home for longer periods, the demand for food items also increased. Palm oil, which is an ingredient for around half of all supermarket goods, saw prices spike due to bad weather, disrupting the output of some of the rival oils like soybean oil. There was also some disruption on the supply side. For instance, the shortage of migrant workers on Malaysia's plantations also affected output as well. We also had prices of cereals like wheat and maize rising because of production cuts by major exporters, as well as a strong demand from China. Supply chain disruptions during lockdowns have also driven increases in food prices. To give an example, in April last year, rice prices surged to a seven-year high because the pandemic actually triggered stockpiling. Whereas some exporters like Vietnam, as well as India, they curbed shipments due to temporary rice export bans in the case of Vietnam. And for India, it was more due to labor shortages as well as logistical disruption.
Joo-yi, how wide were the supply disruptions and have they been addressed?
So supply chain disruptions were really more largely felt in the second quarter of last year because that was when many countries went into lockdown. But ever since more countries reopened and trade resumed since the second half of last year, the supply chain disruptions have eased somewhat. But to give a sense, food inflation across a lot of countries went up during that period because of the disruption. For instance, in Indonesia, several provinces experienced shortage of some of their key staples like garlic, red chili, rice. The prices of these items actually spiked to multi-year highs because of the local disruptions in production as well as distribution. To address this problem, some of the governments have tried to diversify their food imports. Singapore is one of those countries. Given that it's very highly dependent on imports, it saw prices of non-cooked food items jump by almost 4% in the second quarter last year. And because of the disruption, Singapore had to expand the list of some approved countries for some of their food imports. For instance, for egg supplies, they doubled the number of countries that they imported eggs from. So some governments have taken steps to address the problem. And coming into the first month of 2021, these problems have been eased somewhat from what we saw last year.
Which ASEAN economies are set to benefit from these rising prices?
So many ASEAN countries are major commodity exporters, and they do benefit from improving terms of trade as well as the rising food prices. The largest beneficiaries would be those large commodity exporters like Malaysia, where commodity exports account for 16% of GDP. Vietnam is around 9.4%, Thailand around 9%, and Indonesia around 7%. For example, Malaysia and Indonesia have seen their exports being held up by palm oil in 2020, given that palm oil prices surged quite significantly. their headline exports were also somewhat supported by this. Rising food prices also has a powerful redistributive impact, especially to raise rural incomes as well as employment. And quite a substantial share of ASEAN's employment is in agriculture, almost 30%, excluding Singapore. And the largest shares are in the Cambodia, Laos, Myanmar, Vietnam countries, where it's more than one third of employment, Thailand at around 30%, and Indonesia at around 28%. So there have been some benefits to this agricultural community in terms of rising export prices. For instance, in Thailand, farm income actually jumped by 14% in November. That's the fastest pace since July 2017. And in Thailand and Indonesia, the agriculture sector is also providing some relief for workers who were laid off in other sectors, for instance, in manufacturing, tourism and services, as these workers return to their hometowns and join the agriculture sector. So it has been helping to cushion the impact of the pandemic on other industries as well.
So rising food and energy prices should put upward pressures as well on inflation. Are you concerned about a potential spike in that area?
Rising food prices can create inflationary pressures, but we think that the impact on headline inflation will be manageable this year. We do see the CPI food component rising much more quickly than overall CPI across ASEAN. But having said that, given that energy prices had remained low, at least until December last year, and also services costs have been quite low because of the fall in demand, overall inflation in most of the ASEAN countries are still at the lower end of central bank's inflation targets. So we do not expect a spike in inflation this year. In fact, headline inflation is still negative in some countries like Thailand, Singapore, and Malaysia. And hence, we only see a very small pickup in overall headline inflation for most of ASEAN countries this year. So there probably will not be any impact on monetary policy just because of the food inflation picking up.
Now, a lot of ASEAN countries look to be benefiting economically from rising food prices. Can the same be said if we see oil prices rise further? What are the implications in the region?
So rising oil prices among the ASEAN countries, in fact, Malaysia is the largest beneficiary from rising oil prices, given that it's a net energy exporter. In fact, it's the only net energy exporter among ASEAN. And for Malaysia, higher oil prices will help to contain its fiscal deficit. It will also improve Petronas' profitability as well as dividends, and hopefully shore up some investments as well. But on the other hand, the rest of ASEAN are all net oil importers, and they do lose out from rising oil prices. To give an example, Indonesia and Philippines, which are twin deficit economies, they have seen quite an improvement in their current account balance last year because of the plunge in oil and gas imports. But with oil prices picking up in 2021, they may see their current account starting to narrow. The surplus would narrow for Philippines, and we expect a wider deficit in Indonesia as well.
Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning, Ju Yi. That was Lee Ju Yi, economist at Maybank Kim Eng, talking to us about potential rising food prices as a result of the rally in commodity prices that we've seen since the end of last year. Right now, though, we are about to head into some messages. And then up next, we're going to be speaking with Ong Kian Ming, DAP lawmaker and former METI deputy minister, on investor confidence. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.